now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Pancakes and Power Slam show. We are here live on a Tuesday night. Fun show today. We got a lot to cover. We have Extreme Rule, Money in the Bank, of course. Got some analysis and recap from that. And then, of course, we have our weekly Flavor of the Week topic. And this week we're going to talk about the top five wrestlers that never competed for the WWE. Top five wrestlers that never competed for the WWE. And of course we have an exclusive interview from ROH star Caprice Coleman will be on the line. So looking forward to that. Got some interesting questions to pose to him, and we're going to have a great time. So be sure to call in 347-884-8452 is the number to call. Once again, 347-884-8452 is the number to call live. Of course, tweet at Crave Wrestling and go in the chat room. The chat room is usually filled up, pretty fun every week. I usually ask trivia every week, Pancakes and Power Slams trivia or P&P trivia. Matter of fact, let's start off with a trivia question. What former WWE champion managed Kurt Angle? Again, what former WWE champion managed Kurt Angle? All right, well, before we bring on Caprice Coleman, let's delve into Money in the Bank real quick. All right, well, first we had on Money in the Bank the pre-show, which was The Shield defeating the Usos. Probably the best pre-show match that we've seen in the whole pre-show series. Very, very impressed with the match. Very impressed with the feud, actually. I was really happy. I'm just really, really happy to see the Usos manage to have some type of push. It was definitely needed. Definitely deserved from the Usos. They've never had a tag team championship period, and so I think it was important. Before we go to the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank winner, before we go to the actual show of Money in the Bank, we are going to bring on our special guest for today. I'm so honored and so humbled to bring him on, one of the hottest rising teams in ROH today, the CNC Wrestle Factory. And this is one half of that amazing team. He goes by the name of Caprice Coleman, and that is who he is. And so it's great to have you on the show today, sir. Awesome, awesome. All right, well, let's start off with letting the wrestling world know how you got started in the area of professional wrestling and in the world of professional wrestling. How'd you get started?
I was started watching wrestling. I was like 3 years old. Same story. I turned on TV, saw Dusty Rhodes wrestling Barry Windham. They were feuding over like a boot, like the devil in the boot or something. kind of telling my age, you know what I mean? But I was hooked on wrestling ever since. But, like, wrestlers were kind of like, you know, looking at them. They were kind of like, you know, comic book heroes, you know, gladiators, you know what I'm saying, in real life. And I always, like, you know, mimic myself after them and all that. Growing up in, you know, elementary school, a little bit of middle school or whatever, but by middle school, Brian Pillman, Ricky Morton broke free, Jason Liger and all these guys come in. They went from me looking at these guys like, man, these guys are like, you know, gods, to, you know, maybe I could do this one day, because, you know, Brian Pillman wasn't that big and I was always a very small guy for my age or whatever. And so I was like, maybe I can do this one day. And so it kind of went from there. And then when I was 18 years old, I ran into some local guys running a promotion that was called East Coast Wrestling Alliance at the time. Then it turned into New Frontier Wrestling Alliance, and then turned into Omega, and that was Matt and Jeff Hardy. And that's how I got started.
Fantastic. So the question is, you said that you started wrestling as a kid. Did you cut the infamous Child in the Mirror promo? Have you done that at least once?
I'm sure I have, I was more of a kid. That was my thing. I made the belts, and, I mean, I made them better than anybody, man. I started out with one piece of cardboard, and I had two-layer cardboard, and two-layer cardboard with aluminum foil and two-layer cardboard with tin, and I was real creative with it, you know, until about middle school, and then kind of grew out of it or whatever, but it was always cool. And we tried to make one out of leather one time, and that was a belt mark from day one.
Wow. So you said that Dusty Rhodes kind of really gave you the desire to watch wrestling. What other wrestlers can you name that inspired you to break into business or just really inspired you to start wrestling?
Well, Dusty Rhodes is real big because it's like this big white dude talking like me. And so he really grabbed my attention. You know, he's a big old white dude, but he talked like he was black. So that just took me for a ride there. Rock and Roll Express, Brian Pillman, then get a little further, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho, Rey Mysterio, Dean Malenko, Sting, Ultimate Warrior, and I guess The Rock.
Nice.
Shawn Michaels, of course, Bret Hart, those guys.
Awesome. So you talked about Omega, kind of got your break there as far as ECWA is a known for all the hardcore fans. It's a known launch pad of a federation. There's a lot of names that came from that. They're very notable. And then Omega, of course, you said the Hardys, Joey Abs is another person, Shane Helms. After Omega, how did the journey go to get to ROH?
Well, after Omega, Matt and Jeff, they got signed and all, and they were, it was pretty much me and Shannon Moore, Shane Helms, Joey Matthews were kind of like the only ones left. Marty Garner, we were kind of like around with some of the other guys. They were going down the NWA Wild side, and that was down in Georgia. And they kept trying to get me to go down there, but by that time I had like a full-time job. And I couldn't just, like, you know, drop and go like they could, you know, because, you know, I was working and living on my own and all, and all of them were pretty much living with their parents at the time and, you know, didn't really have any bills. I didn't have that luxury. So finally I was able to go down there. But by the time I got down there, they had got signed with WCW or whatever. And then, like, right before I was getting ready to go, I had broke my ankle, so that was, like, 2 month delay. So it was, like, I missed it by, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 months or whatever. So I stayed down there for a while, and Ring of Honor saw me down there, and they started bringing me up. And this was like 2004, 2005, 2006. And between those areas, like Ring of Honor and TNA was getting started, and WWE, they were all like, you know, bringing me in every once in a while, doing like, you know, Heat, Velocity, Raw Spots, you know, at that time, TNA was in Tennessee. I flew in a couple of times, did some stuff with them, and then Ring of Honor. But Ring of Honor always, you know, kind of took me more serious. But I was young and dumb at the time, and I was asking for more, and I didn't know any better. And then I ended up getting behind in, like, bills, so I had to go overseas and get some bills off with a shoot job. Because I just knew that, you know, I was ready to get signed with WWE, you know. And I had some bills I needed to pay. So I went overseas for 3 years. And then I came back. And when I came back, I had started wrestling again, kind of local promotion, just kind of get my name back out there. Went back down to NWA Wildside. They had changed their name to NWA Anarchy. And Ring of Honor got the note that I was down there, and they called me and asked me to do a couple of shows. They brought me aside and said, you know, they're getting ready to be bought out by SBG. They don't know if that's going to allow them to bring more wrestlers on or not, but if they bring any wrestlers on, that was at the top of the list or whatever. And that's what happened. So they brought me on. By that time, I had met Cedric Alexander. And so we went from there.
Wow, that's fantastic. And that's that's a really good take for yourself. That's a really good nod for yourself as far as just the impressive skills that you've had to really have one of the most notable, one of the most recognized companies, ROH, continue to give you an opportunity because they see, you know, your skills and your talent. And it's always, you know, not a lot of people have the opportunity to at least step foot in the WWE or the WCW. So it's definitely good to, you know, have that on your resume as well. So you mentioned your partner, Cedric Alexander. So explain to all of our listeners how the CNC Wrestle Factory formed, because that wasn't always your name in ROH. I remember at first it was just, they just started acknowledging you guys by your names, Caprice Coleman, Cedric Alexander, and then the CNC Wrestle Factory name became pretty catchy. So I saw that, you know, there's merchandise now, and the team is starting to really start to boom.
That started back when Cedric and I met. Funny story, when I got back in country or whatever, and I started, you know, hitting the same territories I was at and all, and some of them was like, you know, what's your fee? And I was like, you know, same fee when I left, you know, I give them my fee and all. And they was like, well, we'll pass. I was like, pass? What are you talking about? You know, and they was like, well, you know, Cedric Alexander, he's cheaper. And I was like, who is Cedric Alexander? Who is this cat? You know what I'm saying? Taking my bookings. And then I got on the show that he was actually on, and he was basically a young guy, just broke into business, very, very young, but he had it, you know, And he was pretty much going everywhere he can go for little or nothing just to get his name out there. So that kind of got my respect, you know. I was mad at first, but then I was like, he's trying to make it just like I was. So he earned my respect there. And I saw him work, man. And once I saw him work, I was like, man, this kid's got it. So he won me over because what drew me to him is that I was like, he didn't remind me of me because he's totally different. But I was like, you know what? Nobody, when I was that young, you know, everybody was always telling me, you need to work on this, you need to work on this, you need to get bigger, you need to do this, you need this. Nobody actually said, man, you're good. You know, watch out for the after show stuff. Or, you know, nobody ever was like, took me by the horn like that. You know what I'm saying? It was always like, work on this or slow down or do this, da, 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 or whatever. So I said, you know what, man, let me talk to this cat. And I talked to him. I was like, man, you got it. You good. I said, you know, basically, like, I would talk to him about after ring type stuff because he had it in the ring. But mine was more like, you know, after the show, because I knew, I grew up with, you know, Matt and Jeff and all these guys. I know a lot of guys that kind of went on that same ship. But the after show, my saying is, you know, 90% of wrestlers that lose it in the end, they lose it on the outside of the ring, not on the inside. It's not through injuries that happen in the ring. It's the after show that gets them, you know. And that's pretty much the type of stuff I was teaching him. Or whatever, and then we end up being on the same in a class together for the NWA's Legend Convention. They were building the NWA's brand called New Beginnings, and we was training under Tully Blanchard, and we both was in that seminar. And we were like, man, don't stand too close to me because you're staying too close, they're going to make us a team, because we're the only two black guys in the whole seminar. Lo and behold, just knowing each other and all that, when we went to Ring of Honor, and our Ring of Honor was asking us, did we know each other and all that, and I was like, oh, yeah, we know each other. And they asked us about it, but we had already, you know, knew each other before then. And so we was like, well, we'll talk it over and all that. So we started working on some stuff and all, and came back with a proposal to them, and they took it. And it went from there. The CNC, we started as Coleman and Alexander, honestly, because we never could agree on a tag team name. And then, yeah, and so we just stayed Coleman and Alexander for a long time, because Jim Cornette was, you know, pretty much running things there. And we would come to Jim Cornette with something, and, you know, we came with him with everything but the Midnight Express or Rock and Roll Express. And you know, he had the All Night Express, so, you know, we weren't going to go down that road, but I think that's what he was looking for, something Express. I don't know.
Something Express.
But we couldn't really agree on a name or whatever. But the first night we wrestled in Richmond, wrestled in a tournament, and on the internet, they just automatically start calling us TNC Wrestle Factory, I guess because of Caprice and Cedric or whatever, and we just kind of laughed it off. And then we would say to each other, like, man, if we don't ever think of a tag team name, we're going to end up being the CNC Wrestle Factory, and that's going to be the biggest joke of all time. And after a while, you know, it became like, you know, Coleman Alexander / CNC, and then / CNC Wrestle Factory / CNC, and after a while, they just threw it on us. So we was like, well, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. So you can actually say that the internet and wrestling fans named us the CNC Wrestle Factory. So if y'all laugh at that, y'all laugh at yourselves.
Personally, I like it. I remember the kind of like the evolution, so to speak, of from Coleman and Alexander to the CNC Wrestle Factory. And I remember just hearing the name, and I was like, oh, okay. But I think I can speak for many of the other people who are familiar with the team and just the evolution of the name, that it's catchy. Maybe not initially in the beginning, but definitely catchy, especially since the both of y'all, you know, it's always good to have some type of sign thrown up, you know what I mean, when you come out and wrestle. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers who do that, and then you kind of have your C's that y'all throw up. So it's, you know, it's catchy. You know, the crowd and the audience, I can tell, are with you, you know, when it comes to throwing up the sign and things like that. So I think that the evolution kind of helped you all. And plus, you have a label. You're labeled. I mean, as far as having a name and things like that, and that's a lot of the times that helps out a lot as far as, you know, the audience just really, you know, paying attention to y'all. So I definitely think that the CNC Wrestle Factory is a good name, and it goes to show that the both of y'all, you know, really live up to that. Because I remember when I saw both of you live, I went to a ROH live show, and I believe you were wrestling Adam Cole, and Cedric was wrestling Davey Richards, and you had the best spot of the night, and I would probably give the best match to Cedric and Davey, and I think Davey even, like, I think he was kind of, really promoted him really, really, really heavy, saying next world champion, things like that. And I feel like that towards the both of y'all. But that spot that you had, I think you did like some type of acai moonsault to Adam Cole, and you just did some type of vertical jump to the ropes, and you turned it to like some type of acai. It was just some really crazy spot. What's that?
The inside out moonsault. It's like there's a lot of people that do it like from the outsider, and they're already out there, but I start from the inside and do it.
Something different.
I thought something different out
there,
and they seemed to like it. So,
yeah, the place erupted, you know, when that happened. So, and then, you know, just to have the both of y'all be such good singles wrestlers, to have y'all come together is definitely a double bonus for all the ROH fans. So, speaking of matches, what is the best match that you've ever been in?
Man, I don't know. Man, I don't know. I would like to say maybe working the singles or tag or both.
You can say both.
Okay, maybe a tag team. I would have to say like our feud with the Young Bucks. I really enjoy working them. We've never had a bad match with the Young Bucks. They always bring out the best in us, and I hope we do the same with them or whatever. They're actually coming back to Ring of Honor. And then singles match, I have to say my feud with Shatter, which is a TNA Gunner. We feuded a lot up and down the East Coast or whatever, and we've had some really good matches.
That's awesome. How about the best match you've ever watched that you haven't been in? I mean, even from a kid, the best matches you can ever, the most memorable match that you can think of.
Probably have to say Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, the Iron Man.
Oh,
match
yeah,
they did.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's do a little bit of fantasy booking here. So if CNC, they're such a, you know, you both are such a well-oiled team as far as chemistry is concerned in the ring. If y'all were to break up and start a feud, who would be the heel and why?
Oh, man. I'm comfortable either way. Cedric. Believe it or not, Cedric is too. But I believe, man, that can go either way. That could go either way. I believe knowing the Ring of Honor crowd, it would probably make more sense. That's hard to answer. We could go either way with that because, and the reason why I say that is because, like, Cedric could be mad at me and be like, hey, you holding me back. You know, type deal. You know, you pulling on my shirt tails, and I'm carrying you everywhere I go, and I'm tired of you holding me back. I want to be world champion, type deal, and catch an attitude like that, and I'd be a baby, or I can be, you know, the heel of like, you know, I get jealous. Everybody likes you. You know what I'm saying? I'm better than you. I made you. Blah blah blah, like that deal, and I become the heel. So that can go either way, and we're both comfortable either way. The only strain is now that, you know, the word is out that I'm an ordained minister. A preacher and all that, you know, it'll kind of be hard to make me heal without contaminating some stuff. But there's some ways to make me more aggressive or whatever, but, I mean, I've tried to go some shows I do around here, and they be like, man, we really need to heal at this show or whatever. We really need to back. I say, okay, fine. And I come out there, man, and I'll be healing it up, and you hear people cry, you know, he's a preacher. I ain't booing him. You know what I'm saying? So they would just, like, sit silent, you know. And I would be doing heel stuff, and they'd be clapping, like, you know, like I just rubbed a log on the Apollo and started singing Amazing Grace or something. They wouldn't do it, man. Like, I ain't getting struck down on the bleachers. Dang, God ain't going to do that to me. So they
Wow.
So, but I believe it could go either way, man. Yeah. But I mean, with me being, I'm actually comfortable with heel or baby, honestly.
That's great. All right, so I know that, like I said, CNC Music Factory is a great team right now. CNC Music Factory, yeah. I'm glad that you called me on that. Have you ever had anybody else, like, make that mistake?
Oh, man. You know what? What was funny is I look on the internet sometimes, and every once in a while I just Google, see what people are saying about us or whatever. And it was like, mm-hmm. I believe they stole that from a group in the 90s that used to be called the CNC Music Factory. I believe it's a playoff then. I'm like, you know what? You're a genius. You should go straight to Harvard. You don't even have to enlist. Just walk straight into it and see what happens because you got it. You're a smart person.
That's
all the way.
That's what the wrestling world calls smarks. So
yeah. You got it. You're a smart person, man. You know it everything. You good. Real
know
good.
Know it all. Yeah.
Invented that
idea themselves. No, it's okay. But my apologies. That's the first time I've ever done that. And I've mentioned, this is show number 68, I believe it is, 67, 68, mm-hmm. and almost a year and a half of the show, as many times I've mentioned. I do a ROH recap every week, and as many times I've done it, I've never said that. So I guess that's a little an added bonus part of the interview here, CNC Music Factory, that will never be said again. It is the CNC Wrestle Factory. Born and bred, and definitely nobody would argue that. So, like I said, the CNC Wrestle Factory is a phenomenal team. But I know that you have, you know, as far as personal goals in ROH and aspirations, as far as, you know, doing something that's more, you know, that's ascending in the ranks. The team has yet to have. See, the chat room is acting crazy now. Someone said everybody dance now in the chat room. So, you can't say anything without the wrestling fans just leeching off of. But you know that's
keep
that's
more warriors unite.
Right. But you, I know that you have personal goals as far as your wrestling career is concerned, and I would imagine tag team championships would be one of them. Unfortunately, the past ROH TV show, y'all came a little bit short against Red Dragon, although it was a phenomenal match. But let me know, let the listeners know your goals as far as ROH is concerned.
Definitely, my goal now is becoming World Tag Team Champions. I believe that Ring of Honor has the most respected tag team division out of the top three companies. And to be able to have that that name under you saying you've become the World Tag Team Champions, to me, is a big deal. And I believe we are, if not one of the best tag teams in the world right now, in all companies, because, I mean, with the cohesiveness that we have and our ability to be innovative and things, and with me be kind of being like an old-school innovator and him like a new-school striker type deal, the way that we're able to collaborate on things, I believe is not matched anywhere. We get along and all, and I believe both of us, like you said, are great singles competitors. And I believe that's our first goal. Of course, I believe we both each want to be able to get some shots at some single runs as well. I believe within 5 years, Cedric Alexander would be a household name that everybody would know. And a lot of people say, well, I'm 36 years old, I don't have a lot left. But, you know, here's my deal. Every time before we go out to wrestle, most states we have to be checked by a doctor. And my heart rate and blood pressure is better than 90% of the roster that's out there, you know, because I do a regimen that's built to prolong my life, my health and my fitness and all. And I'm in great shape. And you can tell by looking. And I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. So a singles run would be fine with me, too. Between Cedric and I, Cedric is more of the technical wrestler, striker, in-your-face type, you know, Dean Malenko, David Richards type guy, and I'm more of the, you know, the entertainer, you know, the talker or whatever like that. So I believe if we end up going our separate ways, we'll both be fine or whatever, and still be good friends. I believe it would probably be something like the Briscoes, where if they did break us up, you know, we would end up back together again. Or like they do the American Wolf type thing.
Yeah. And I would also add the Briscoes there as well. They're both for having good singles careers, and but they're known as a team. So hopefully, it won't be a Hart Foundation or a Rockers type deal.
Right.
Where, you know, there's a, you know, no offense to Marty Jannetty or Jim Neidhart. They're both great competitors, but unfortunately they received the shorter end of the stick when it came to propelled careers. So, but I definitely think that the both of you have what it takes to really make, and you have, what, about 15 years experience?
Yeah, and I've been around for a while, so this is a blessing to me to finally get the opportunity to do this. And Cedric has a lot of life left in him. He's just now getting started. And he fits the Ring of Honor style like to a T, you know. I enjoy Ring of Honor as well. I do what I can, you know, and I do my best. And whatever happens to me, I can always say that, you know, I've always followed my dreams, and I got to where millions never got to, you know. So, and I believe I have so much more to give. So I'm fine either way, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm good either way, man.
Awesome. So just to say that you made it to WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
and Caprice Coleman is one of the marquee matches at WrestleMania, who would your top opponent be and why?
Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, okay. Good choice.
He's got it, man. If he stays healthy, man, he'll be around for a long time. I like him. I like the way he's like more of a Henning than Kurt Henning's son going now. You know, if they brought him in as a Henning, I believe it. You know, because he's like the Kurt Henning of the day. You know, I know they have Kurt Henning's son there and all, but to me, Dolph Ziggler is definitely like the Kurt Henning of the day. And I was a big Kurt Henning fan or whatever, so I'd definitely say Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I think that, you know, watching both of your wrestling styles, I definitely think that would be in. The wrestling world would be in for a phenomenal match because both of you have fantastic wrestling styles, and that's an interesting point that you made as far as Dolph Ziggler. He's usually compared. Kurt Hennig is one of the people he's usually compared to, but I never really thought of it as far as making a gimmick out of being. From the Hennig family, and that would have been very interesting. I know, you know, he was semi-tarnished with the Spirit Squad, you know, gimmick, but it would have been very interesting if he would have came in as a Hennig.
I don't think the Spirit Squad tarnished him, man. I mean, it's like, you know, the wrestling business, man. You get in where you fit in, and if that's the way they had to get him there, man, and he was in it being the one that, you know, stood out. You know, you look at was he Nick back then or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, you look at him then. Now he changed his whole look. You know, toned up and everything. And you know, look at him now, man. He's doing big things. I also like the fact that, like, you know, there's a lot of great wrestlers there. I like Daniel Bryan and, you know, all the, you know, the other guys there. Don't get me wrong, but the way that he moves and then, like, entertains at the same time, man, it's marquee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you the Spirit Squad were former tag team champions, so I guess, you know, that goes with part of his resume. But I don't know, I do think that as far as the wrestling, you're familiar with the wrestling mind of these days as far as the fans are concerned. There's a majority or a large amount of fans that looks for things to critique about someone's career, and that's one of the things that he gets critiqued at the most as far as his Spirit Squad run. I think in hindsight the group was a bust, but I definitely understand from a wrestling standpoint, from a business standpoint, as far as, like you said, get in where you fit in, and I'm sure that Dolph Ziggler was very, very pleased with the opportunity as well. So, yeah, I definitely think from the different context.
You know, I've learned, like, and this is why I know I could be a phenomenal heel because, you know, when I first started wrestling, of course, you know, I was a lot smaller than I am now, and I'm not a big guy now or whatever, but they was like, you know, where you wrestling at? And I would say, oh, you know, at the Armory, or, you know, at the high school, when you going to WWE? You know, I'm like, well, you know, you got to work your way up to there, you know. Oh, you're not good enough yet, you know. And then, you know, you get moved to this area, and where you're thinking, okay, you look on the internet, I'm doing pretty good, but because this guy doesn't see me on WWE, I'm nobody to him, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
Then, you know,
right.
you go to WWE and you get beat up. Yeah, man, I saw you got tore up, man. But you saw me on TV, you sit at home, you live with your grandma, you live in the basement, you know what I'm saying? You don't even support yourself, but you know what I'm saying? You're not even chasing the dream. You're chasing the keyboard, you know?
Right,
and so
right.
I stopped trying to please people, man, you know what I'm saying? And so I start going, you know, following my dream. Because I realized that if I got the WWE, you know, they'd be like, man, I saw you WWE. You got signed, but you ain't got a belt yet. You know, and I get the tag team. When you going to get a singles run? Then you get a singles
right.
run. You're U.S. champion, but when you going to be Intercontinental champion? You get Intercontinental. Well, you ever going to be world champion? You get world champion. Yeah, they let you win, though, didn't they? You know what I'm saying? So you're never going to please them, man. So
yeah,
it's like, you know, I got to do this thing for me, man.
Yeah.
So
That's a fantastic point.
These guys, a lot of the guys is asking for something. They're asking from a fan point of view. My job is to entertain you, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, 9 times out of 10, you can't do a quarter of what I do. So sit back and be entertained. I'm sorry,
all that behind the mic and you'll get some booze, and that's what it's all about. You know?
Absolutely. I'm probably getting some hate replies now, man, but, you know, if you sit and think about it, it's true, man. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing this for a while, and for a long part of my career, I spent trying to please people. I remember the first time I got frustrated with fans, I wrestled a match, and I did like a real high springboard crossbody to the outside. In a Ring of Honor, like, six-way match or whatever. And it was a real high crossbody and all, and a highlight of the match or whatever. And out of everything they could say is, yeah, he got real high. I think Jack Evans was in the match, and he did some, like, kind of twisted thing or whatever. They said, what would have been cool is if he got real high and did a twist or did a flip. I'm like, get in the ring. Take a bump. Try to jump. Get on the ropes. Stand up.
Yeah.
Balance yourself. You know what I'm saying? So after that, I was just done with it. So I apologize that you're getting this side of me tonight.
If I ever had a heel run,
trust me, I would have no problem with getting heat.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's an entertainment business, you know. And as a face or as a heel, you know, when you get that, you know, a lot of times when you're in a promotion, you're kind of at the mercy of what they offer you, you know, and a lot of times, you know, some people are offered to be a heel, but they don't feel comfortable doing it. But you gotta be comfortable being a face or a heel when you're in this business, because you know, like you said before, I mean, like, you know, when you go to different promotions, they say, okay, well, we need a heel, but if you're not comfortable doing it, you know, you just kind of, you know, kind of fall flat. So I definitely think it's important to have both of them. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, and people don't realize, man, like, there's a grind. That's why, like, you know, the Wrestle Factory, I really like what we've become. And, like, you see the back of our shirt, it's like Ambassadors of the Grind. Because basically, like, my story is I've been at this for a long time, you know, and people have counted me out countless amount of times because of injuries and things. And there was a time where I doubted myself, you know. But I put my boots back on. I stopped listening to the naysayers, and I went back out there, and I got signed. You know what I mean? And not because I was the best out there, no, but it was my time, and I was blessed to be able to do so. You know, so I could have gave up when they said it, but I didn't. You know, but when you look at, like, entertainers, people out there in the movies, they don't go from sitting on their couch to Denzel Washington. You know what I'm saying? They do stage plays. You know what I'm saying? They do little films that ain't nobody seen before. You know, they do little commercials and get catapulted here. You know, they start out little and they get big, but people don't understand the grind. You know, people don't understand sleeping in your car, driving 12, 15 hours, sleeping in your car to make nothing, hoping you get publicity. You know what I'm saying? People don't understand that. They think you just wake up, go to the gym, and go to WWE. They don't understand the grind. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand you getting hurt or whatever, but you're still trying to work because you're thinking, if I miss this show, I'm going to miss a big opportunity to go somewhere else. They don't understand that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They don't understand sleeping in your car outside of a hotel because you're not on the roster big enough to get a hotel, but if you sleep somewhere else, you might miss the bus to the show. They don't understand nothing like that, man. They don't understand that you can't work a regular job, you know what I'm saying, because if you work a regular job, you got to work a 9-to-5 Monday through Friday, and your mama can't die but so many times to get off on a Tuesday or Wednesday night when WWE is calling you to come in town or something like that because your dream might happen. They don't understand that. They don't understand you changing your whole life around to adjust to a dream that might not come true, you know what I'm saying, for your dreams, you know what I'm saying, but you pleasing somebody that can't do nothing that you trying to do, but they just a keyboard warrior. They don't understand nothing like that. They don't understand you trying to support a family off a dream. They don't understand.
Wow.
That's the grind. That's the real grind right there. You know, P. Diddy didn't become P. Diddy overnight. You know what I'm saying? He worked the small stuff and worked his way up. And people laugh at him now, but he cashing money.
Yeah. Wow. So, I think that we just heard a Hard Times promo 20 years later. Every time I heard, that was fantastic, and that's very true as far as, you know, just what you have to go through as a wrestler and just have to, you know, like you said, sleep in your car and just not really know, you know, as far as having a routine meal or not even know, you know, what to eat sometimes. So you're absolutely right as far, and that's the grind right there. That's hard times as WWE.
The crazy part is this, man. I have an engineering degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I have a degree. You know what I'm saying? But this is my dream, and I think back all the time, like, man, what if I would just, you know, went into my career or whatever like that? I wouldn't have been happy, but I would have had money. When I went overseas, I was making good money. I had a maid, I had a driver. You know what I'm saying? But I came out here to follow my dreams. They're coming true. You know what I'm saying? I know that money will come, you know what I'm saying? But I had money. I had all that stuff, and I still wasn't happy. You know what I'm saying? Because that wasn't what I was built to do. You know, but now I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't have as much money, but I'm happy. My family's happy. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. They don't understand, man. They don't stay on the keyboard.
Yep. And they'll probably stay on the keyboard. Yeah, I mean, you're right. You know, you say you're, you know.
Mommy, can you fix me a sandwich?
while I complain about, and you know, you know what's interesting about that is that, you know, I've been a journalist for a while in the wrestling business, and I get that all the time. You know, I try to be as rational as I can when I write. Of course, there's, you know, a bit of a bias sometimes when it comes to a certain angle or a certain wrestler or something like that, but. I mean, there'll be pieces I write that can be just the most, you know, impartial pieces, and there's still something that someone could, you know, critique, you know, that's just so small, minutely small, that they don't agree with. And I just wrote a long piece about something very informative, and I get the critique in the comment section. So I'm like,
they just about had time. They think about that, man. You got time to define something that small. And you wrote all that stuff, and they got to write a sentence about a little mistake you made. You know, they don't. It's hard, man. They don't understand. They don't understand.
Or not even a mistake.
You know.
Yeah. Sometimes even
an indifference.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I love
but,
everybody. You know, I know I'm sounding hillish. You know what I'm saying, or whatever. But you know, I've been at this for a long time. You know what I'm saying. And everybody knows me. Like they hit me up on Twitter. I'm probably one of the only fan wrestling guys that, you know, responds to fans. I talk to people, you know what I'm saying, because I know that the fans are what make us, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I believe a fan is a fan, you know what I mean? So, I mean, unless you step in my shoes, you really can't tell me what to do.
Yeah, I think it's important to put things in perspective, too, as far as, you know, fans are concerned. Even, you know, I know personally, you know, some wrestlers, and, you know, even wrestlers are still fans because they appreciate the business. But I think, you know, just putting everything in perspective and just really understanding all of the hard work that you all put into just really being successful in the business. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people who even try out to be a wrestler who don't make it. So, you know, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of those people are the ones that are, you know, bitter. But I think that even, you know, the people who don't try, who appreciate the business, who appreciate wrestling, like you said, you know, they make the wrestlers. They are the one who feed the wrestling business. But I think, and they, you know, in a sense, you know, they can argue that we, because I'm a fan as well, you know, we all can argue that we have a right to say what we want, which we do. But at the same time, I think being rational and putting things in perspective is definitely important.
Well, I mean, of course, I mean, everybody has freedom of speech. You know what I mean? So yeah. I can't get mad at what you're saying, you know what I'm saying? But if we got freedom of speech, don't get mad when I say something back. You know what I'm saying? I could talk.
Yeah.
I was born to talk. You know what I'm saying? So but this is what I do. So I'm the type of person, you know, if you pick at me, I'm going to pick back. If you say something to me, I'm going to say something back, you know. And actually, I'm going to say it at the same level you said it to me, or I'm going to say it at a level higher because I can. You know what I mean? So, I mean, if you're going to say something, you know, be ready for something to come back at you.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so I'm going to give you five random names. And we're going to play every time I interview someone on the show, I do name association. It doesn't have to be one word, probably a sentence or two. Five random names, and let me know, you know, your opinion or your feeling on them as a person, their career. So let's start off with Steve Corino.
Great guy. Been around the business for a long time. Good people. He made, I mean, of course, you know, some of his choices on TV aren't popular and all that, but I've known Corino for, man, I could say almost 20 years, and he's a very smart guy.
Cedric Alexander.
In 5 years, mark my words, within 5 years, Cedric Alexander would be a household name.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, wrestling.
The Undertaker.
You know, longevity.
Nice. And then finally, Kurt Angle.
A wrestler's wrestler. you know, you can pick at people's personal life and all that, but push come to shove, everybody has a personal life that some people aren't proud of, but it's just that when you're in that limelight, everybody sees your business. They don't see yours because you're not important enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that a lot of you've had so many segues into my line of questions, and all of the listeners, he had no idea of the questions that I'm posing to him, and he's answering them very greatly. But your segues are perfect, and you just segued to my next question, which was, how has your faith impacted your wrestling career?
I believe it's impacted a lot because, first of all, I say I'm blessed with Ring of Honor because I talked to, you know, other promotions and all, and fear that with me being an ordained minister and all that, they would try to contaminate that an aspect. And Ring of Honor was really like the first company that was like, hey, let's embrace that. Let's do something with it. You know, we don't have to tweak it. Let's just leave it like it is. And they didn't make me like a, you know, going out there and, you know, carrying the Bible and all that, but enough to be like, hey, this is a guy. He's an athlete. And guess what? He's an ordained minister, too. And he can go out there and walk the house just like anybody else. You know, and I respect that. And the faith aspect is my ability to be able to go when everybody else say, you know, your time is up. You know, my faith aspect is when, you know, injuries came and it was like, well, you might as well hang up your boots. I was like, no, something inside of me is telling me this is where I need to be. You know, my faith kicked in is when I realized that when I did take time off or whatever and I was talking to other wrestlers, they told me that, hey, it was me in the back dressing room that was encouraging them, you know, in ways that I never knew it. You know, so I know that not only is this my dream, but, you know, it's my ministry as well. And there's a lot of Christian wrestlers out there that, you know, that fall, you know, and then they find Christ or vice versa, you know, that they try to make a statement, they try to find something, you know, bad to say about them and all that. Nobody's perfect, you know, but I believe that the life that I've been able to live so far has been a life to where nobody can mark me and say, yeah, he says he's this, but, you know, he drinks and he gets high, and he does this, you know, my integrity is in check, you know, and that's because I know that, you know, the life I live, people are looking at not only just as an entertainer, but, you know, some as a spiritual guidance, you know, and if I'm a light for Christ, you know, I need to be a bright one, you know, at all times. So I watch myself so I don't give somebody an excuse to say, well, he did this and he ain't about nothing, or, you know what I mean? So I have to be a light everywhere I go. So that's where my faith and integrity kicks in, and it helps me because after the show, when everybody's going to the after party, or sometimes if I go to the after party, they respect me enough not to offer me a drink, or, you know, not to get into the extra stuff or whatever like that, because everybody's grown, you know, but it's on your own decision. And because of a lot of things I don't do by being quote-unquote straight-edge, it's not straight-edge, it's just, you know, my beliefs, you know, it's put longevity in me because I don't have things inside of my body that will keep me from lasting as long as I've been able to, because there's nothing in there to toxify it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. As a fellow minister, you're definitely an inspiration to me, as far as just really showing your integrity, something I've definitely noticed throughout your wrestling career. I've followed you for a few years now since ROH, and I definitely am inspired by that, and I definitely think that that's something that will give you favor, you know, as a result of keeping your diligence to your faith. So I definitely commend you, and I honor you for that, for sure. So, all right, so do you have, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a fantastic show, a fantastic interview from the Caprice Coleman, one half of the CNC Wrestle Factory, the CNC Wrestle Factory, a name that I now know has been invented by the fans and the internet. So definitely a intense discussion here, and I definitely think it was well needed. I think that the Pancakes and Power Slam show has officially turned Caprice Coleman heel. So watch out the heel. I kid. But yeah, just really, really good. I definitely heard your heart and your responses, and I definitely it definitely is a reflection of the passion that you have for the business. So, is there any events that's coming soon that you are going to be a part of? Well, this is a nationwide show. People from all across the nation listen to the
show. Absolutely. I got this weekend I'll be in Rockwell, Texas, for the Christian Wrestling Federation annual tag team tournament. Me and my brother, Sweet Dreams, he's from Omega. We're going down there in that tournament for the to win the, you know, the trophy at the end or whatever. So the Christian Wrestling Federation in Rockwell, Texas is pretty much my favorite Christian organization to work for. Because their base is that they have Christians that just happen to be wrestlers, and not wrestlers just happen to be Christians. You know, if you think about it, it's a big deal. So I really enjoy working with them. Not a big organization, but I really enjoy my time with them and the people there, and the hospitality there. Next weekend after that, Ring of Honor is going to be in Rhode Island. And the weekend after that, Ring of Honor will be in Buffalo, New York. The weekend after that, we will be in Toronto, Canada. So keep a lookout for that. My Twitter handle is at Caprice Coleman. Love and respect to all. Follow your dreams. If you dream to be a pro wrestler, take it serious. Whatever you dream to be, you know, put yourself into it and go all out with it. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it. You know, you follow your dreams and do the best that you can do, because your dream might not be your destiny, but I guarantee if you follow your dream, it'll lead you to your destiny.
Wow, Caprice, has been a pleasure to interview you today. Definitely a heartfelt interview that I just greatly appreciate. I just heard, like I said, I heard your heart, I heard your passion, and you could tell that you are all about making this the best opportunity that it can possibly be. And like you said, and like the catchphrase of your team is definitely Ambassador of the Grind. I think that the listeners that we have definitely understand so much more what that means. I want to thank you, sir, so much, and I hope you do so well. And I'll continue to be following you in ROH, and looking forward to you to just go up from here.
All right, I appreciate that. And also, you know, I search for sale and all, and if you feel that you work hard and that you can represent for people that work hard, that are just waiting for an opportunity, buy the shirt and represent. Thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Caprice Coleman from ROH. Such a fantastic interview. You just really heard his heart and soul in that interview, just really appreciating the business and just really grinding, you know, just Ambassadors of the Grind has never been fleshed out as much as we heard it today. So just a lot of people know him, but he's, like he said, he's not as far as the big WWE name, although he has wrestled for the big promotions before, but he's definitely a huge name in ROH. Just really making, just really putting in work to just continue to do what he loves, and that's to be a professional wrestler. So I definitely was honored and privileged to interview Caprice Coleman, and CNC Wrestle Factory is probably my favorite team in wrestling right now. I'd probably say them. I like Bad Influence from TNA. As far as WWE is concerned, big fan of the Usos. So I'll probably say that those are my favorite my three favorite teams. So, all right, we have a little bit of time left. We're going to just zoom through Money in the Bank, and then we're going to have, after Money in the Bank, we'll have Derek call in and give the Raw section today is going to be the commentary by Derek, because, of course, the interview. And then I'm going to give my little ad-libs on that, and then we're going to delve into the flavor of the week and try to squeeze a little bit of not SmackDown. We probably won't have time for that, but try to squeeze some Impact Wrestling in as well. Speaking of Impact Wrestling, breaking news today that I reported on WrestlingInc.com, Tara, Impact Wrestling, tweeted and confirmed the release of Tara, as many know as Victoria in the WWE. She is released from TNA, and I definitely wish her the best, and I'm sure that with her career and everything that's going on, she will have some big spots waiting for her, and some opportunities still waiting for her. So hopefully, you know, maybe I can work it out to get her on the show soon. But like I said, fantastic interview from Caprice Coleman. And let's just zoom through the material today so we can spend some time, about 10 minutes or so, for the flavor of the week, talking about the five best wrestlers that has never wrestled for the WWE. Now, interestingly enough, number five wrestled in affiliation with the WWE, but he's never wrestled for the WWE. So, top five wrestlers who never wrestled for the WWE. All right, real quick. World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank winner Damian Sandow. Interesting take, some freshness to that. The World Heavyweight Championship scene, some freshness to Damian Sandow's character, but I definitely don't think Damian Sandow was the best choice out of all the seven. As a matter of fact, that match was probably the match of the night. That match was absolutely fantastic, and I definitely think that I would actually go ahead and say that that was the match of the night. Definitely just blew away my expectations, and some really amazing spots for that match. It was definitely better than the WWE Championship match, which wasn't bad, but the World Heavyweight Championship match definitely well exceeded my expectations. Damian Sandow, we'll see. definitely don't think he's ready. And the like I mentioned in one of my articles on Bleacher Report, the average Michael Cole even said something about this on Raw sometime a few weeks ago, probably a couple months ago. He mentioned that the average cash-in is about 3 months. So according to the average cash-in, is Damian Sandow ready? Absolutely not. And then they don't want to do too much waiting. But I guess that's building Sandow's character. I don't know. But I do like the animosity that he's having with Cody Rhodes. And check out my article on BleacherReport.com about Cody Rhodes. This should be the beginning of a face push for Cody Rhodes. So I definitely think that that is a nice, fresh, some freshness to that angle there. Curtis Axel defeats The Miz. That's pretty self-explanatory. Ryback defeats Chris Jericho. Also a predictable match, which Ryback didn't even have a spot on Raw. So, again, Jericho putting people over for no reason. Not going to do anything in Ryback's career. Ryback is a complete bust now. And I think the WWE should count their losses and just keep him in the mid-card. I do think that he has the potential to be rebuilt, but keeping him in the mid-card, I mean, keeping him in the main event scene doesn't have an opportunity to rebuild him. He needs to be just rebuilt. He reminds me of a car, a NASCAR track competition, a racetrack that needs to go in the pit stop, but just keep going around and around and around in the track and trying to work himself from there. He needs a pit stop moment. He needs to be worked on and sent back. I don't know how that's going to work out, but just beating Chris Jericho is not going to work. That's not going to do it. Battle of the Real defeats Dolph Ziggler by disqualification. I was actually a fan of this. Good writing, because it continues the Dolph Ziggler and AJ feud, which was most likely transition to the Biggie Langston and Dolph Ziggler match at SummerSlam. I was a fan of it. I think it was a good continuation. And as we saw on Raw, the breakup was official. And then we had John Cena defeating Mark Henry. I missed AJ defeating Caitlin as well. Decent match. I was expecting a heel turn by Layla, but we didn't get it. John Cena defeat Mark Henry. That was a lousy, sloppy match. And I was all this hype that came from this match, which was needed, which was good, because Mark Henry definitely did everything that he was supposed to do to get way over and set himself really good to be a candidate to win the match. But the match was just a bust to me. It definitely didn't live up to the hype. And then finally, Randy Orton wins the Money in the Bank. I'm okay with that. He was one of the favorites to win anyways, him or Daniel Bryan. And then we saw on Raw that Daniel Bryan didn't even have to win the Money in the Bank briefcase, and they played it well on the show. And then that last spot that he did, good to see RVD back. He definitely dropped some pounds and got more nimble, definitely far ahead of his TNA days, that he looked very lethargic in his three-year run there. But definitely we're seeing the old RVD back, and I'm looking forward to see where he will be booked for SummerSlam. All right, like I said, Raw will be covered by Derek today. He's going to do his commentary on Raw. We don't have time to go into it in depth, but like I said, after Derek does his Raw analysis, I will definitely give in my few takes from the show, and then we'll move on preparing ourselves for the Flavor of the Week. So, Derek, what you got this week, sir?
Hey, real quick on Monday Night Raw. first and foremost, Chris Featherstone, Pancakes and Power Slams, Caprice Coleman. That was an awesome, awesome interview. More interviews to come from Chris Featherstone, Pancakes and Power Slams. Let's cover Monday Night Raw. As we know, Brad Maddox is now in charge of Monday Night Raw. Interesting twist. He was interrupted by Cena last night. Randy Orton comes out, and then comes out Fandango. Oh, that was awesome. Orton attacks Fandango, of course. Maddox interrupts again. But the opening match, Fandango versus Orton. Orton wins, but a great match from Fandango. And Fandango's a guy that I've been watching for a while. I hope he becomes more than what they perceive him to be. I think he's something that can really grow on. I love his gimmick. He's going to be a great gimmick wrestler. I hope he sticks around for a while. Then Mark Henry addresses Cena. Shield comes out, destroys Mark Henry. What kind of Chris Featherstone was touching on, that the Mark Henry against Cena for on the pay-per-view, it really killed the Mark Henry push. And Mark Henry could be so much more than what he is. It was just kind of a dunce. Mark Henry can do a lot better. I want to see more out of him. Is that going to happen? He might retire soon. We'll never know until he finally does retire. John Cena, again, gets all the accolades in the world for being the best champion ever. Nope, I don't think so. But Cena, again, comes out on top. Y2J was backstage with Maddox, and it's revealed that Y2J and RVD are going to fight on Monday Night Raw. That was a great, great match. Y2J loses, of course. That's been the happening fad. That sucks for Y2J. RVD, it was a classic match, and it was a five-star frog splash on top of Y2J, where he lost the match. I want Y2J to be a lot better and a lot more and get what he deserves. But, of course, RVD's new, so he's kind of fresh still. Let's keep that momentum going. I like RVD a lot. Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler. It was a near fall. Ended when AJ slapped Ziggler. Biggie Langston stopped Ziggler, actually. Langston took over. He kind of took AJ over his old pal Dolph Ziggler. So, you know, what's going to go on with that? I agree with the Dolph Ziggler, what Caprice Coleman was saying about him earlier. Ziggler is somebody that he's going to stick around. He's going to be around for a long time. But he really, this push could be what he needs. This push could be something over Biggie Langston. I'm curious to see what's going to go on here soon. However, you got the Wyatts coming out last night against R-Truth. They kind of make an example of R-Truth. The Wyatts have still kind of been a bust from what the build-up has been. I'm kind of curious to see what's going to go on with the Wyatts. They're going to be on Monday Night Raw and pay-per-views, SmackDown, etc. for continuing now, so I want to see what they really have to contribute. What's going to happen with the Wyatts? After that, Sandow versus Christian. That was an awesome win for Christian. I'm excited. Christian deserves the recognition he gets. I kind of class him with the same as a Y2J. They really need... They're the founding fathers of what wrestling is now. They need to be exposed. They need to really show what they can do. A lot more respect for them. And Sandow being attacked by Cody Rhodes. I understand this is Cody Rhodes' his push. This is what's going to make Cody Rhodes be what Cody Rhodes is within the next few months, next year or two. I don't like them using Christian as a stepping stone, but that's what it's going to right now. Paul Heyman dumped CM Punk. I didn't really see that coming with the sincere apology that Heyman gave Punk. Honestly, I'm not too surprised, though. Punk kind of stands to the ground, then Lesnar comes out and destroys CM Punk. And, of course, you see where Paul Heyman lays. Paulie Dangerously is a somewhat of a liar and a turncoat. So CM Punk realizes that now. However, CM Punk, oh, I'm all about you, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman was about CM Punk until last night. And so after that, lastly, CM Punk picks his opponent, picks Daniel Bryant. That's great. I kind of picked Daniel Bryant to win the last pay-per-view for Money in the Bank. He didn't win. Randy Orton won. I see Daniel Bryant having a huge, bright future, so this is him not winning the pay-per-view. Money in the Bank isn't really going to hinder his forward progress. So continue on that, and I want to get back with Chris Featherstone. We're going to have Flavor in the Week here in a bit. Continue watching Pancakes and Power Slams. My name is Derek, Monday Night Raw correspondent. Back to you, Chris. Thank you.
Fantastic, as always. Thank you very much, Derek. Just a few things I want to address on Raw. Brett Maddox, I like him as a GM. Good Raw overall. I think that the Riots, I agree with Derek. So far, not impressed. I like their entrance, but when the lights come on, just not really good. I'm not sold. And I love the promo from the Wyatts in the beginning, but so far I'm just not sold on them. Like Derek also said, I'm glad that Christian got the win against Damian Sandow, because it made it showed that Sandow won't just have some type of big old unbelievable push after he won the briefcase. And they've been doing that for the past few years for the blue case. This year, Sandow lost last night. Ziggler lost a bunch of matches before he cashed it in last year. 2011, Daniel Bryan won the blue case, and he had a very shameful win-loss record before he cashed it in. So, interesting. Interesting booking there. The CM Punk segment, CM Punk Brock Lesnar segment, was by far the best segment of the night. That was absolutely fantastic. The mic work there was just so poignant. Paul Heyman was just absolute gold, and that really did some great things to build up the match against Brock Lesnar. And of course, it was good to see Brock Lesnar there. Not a big Punk fan at all. I was telling a colleague of mine when I was watching Money in the Bank, you know, I'll have my own flavor of the week on why I won't be a Punk mark. And I'll probably even write an article about it and become a heel, because a lot of people, most people like my work, actually, on Bleacher Report and Wrestling Inc. But I'll probably will do my heel turn about my thoughts on CM Punk. Fantastic in the ring. Great worker. But I think he is overrated by the fans, to be honest with you. Just my opinion. We all have our rights to our opinion when it comes to anything, but specifically the wrestling business. And it just goes to show that when I saw Brock Lesnar manhandle CM Punk, man, I was just thinking, man, this guy in real life could really break him in half. CM Punk's not a small guy. So that was a very interesting segment there. And then, of course, you know, RVD and Chris Jericho, great match, but Jericho, I knew Jericho was going to lose, and it's unfortunate because that always happens. And then the last segment was different, but it really panned out at the end when Daniel Bryan came out. I mean, well, he was already out there kind of hiding behind people, but when he was chosen, the crowd just went bananas. I mean, they absolutely erupted. All right, well, we're going to do the Flavor of the Week. Touch some things. Let's just touch some things real quick about Impact Wrestling. Like I said, for details of my Impact Wrestling review, go on WrestlingInc.com. And I write an Impact and SmackDown review every week. So and I usually do details as far as the show is concerned. I do analysis, recap in some details. But if you want just details of more thorough details of my feelings on Impact Wrestling, go to WrestlingInc.com and check out my Impact Wrestling review as well as my SmackDown review. just it was a Joker's Wild, a good choice to a Joker's Wild tournament, just random kind of Battle Bowl WCW style matches that led to a Battle Royal that gets 25 points, which Magnus won, and that was a good idea. And then two more things. Terrence Terrell and Gail Kim was the match of the night. The ladder match was really good. And then lastly, Rampage Jackson and the Main Event Mafia is just an absolute horrible, horrible idea. Not giving up on them because Ken Shamrock and Dan Severn had good MMA careers, so he could possibly, if he has some more time, but this is very, very premature. And then real quick, ROH TV, I mentioned Red Dragon defeated CNC Wrestle Factory. Also, Tommaso Ciampa defeats QT Marshall, and Mike Bennett defeats Nick Merriman in seconds. Then he goes about, and he ends his feud, he ends his affiliation with Bob Evans, was teasing whether he'd sign with the WWE or not. All right, flavor of the week. We've got about a little less than 10 minutes here. Let's zoom through these here. The top five wrestlers that never competed for the WWE. And like I said, Caprice did a fantastic job with landing on the table with, you know, WWE is it's the federation. I would imagine that everybody who wants to wrestle imagine themselves in the WWE, successful in the WWE at one point in time. But there's five wrestlers that, even without a WWE experience, has become legends in this business and has won multiple championships and is known to be as popular as the list of legends that come with the WWE. So real quick, let's start off with number five, Antonio Inoki. Antonio Inoki, founder of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and former owner of it. And then, you know, he's known, you know, for his fantastic career in Japan, most notably for his, two things. In 79, he defeated Bob Backlund to win the WWE Championship. And then a week later, Backlund won. And because of that, it's not recognized in WWE. So he's an official, unofficial WWE champion, interestingly enough. Something similarly happened there. He also had a really memorable match against Ric Flair. He also wrestled Hulk Hogan. So he's definitely had some very memorable matches in his time with Japan. So number four.
Number four, I think, is Nick Bockwinkel. He was a star back in the 40s. He spent his early years of his career with Lou Thesz. And he won his first major singles title in 1963, most notably with the AWA. In 1970, Bockwinkel joined American Wrestling Association, which was founded by Vern Gagne. Tag team wrestler with Ray Stevens, Bockwinkel went on to have many feuds with Billy Robinson, Dick the Bruiser, The Crusher, Mad Dog Vachon, Jerry Lawler, Hulk Hogan, Vern Gagne, of course. And he just went on, he wrestled Ric Flair many times. Everybody knows Nick Bockwinkel as far as just being AWA, the ultimate heel, ultimate champion under Vern Gagne, of course. But Nick Bockwinkel just kind of, if you ever, people that don't know Nick Bockwinkel should really look up his promos with AWA. He was the embodiment of the actual bad guy heel wrestler. So he was never associated with WWE as far as that's concerned. So let's go with for number three.
Number three. Oh, and by the way, that was great, but he did make the Hall of Fame, the WWE, interestingly enough. Number three goes to Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare. Started his wrestling career in 84. He had an 8-year wrestling career, and many people has had, you know, 20 years and has become legends, but he's in an 8-year span. He became as one of the most popular wrestlers who never stepped foot in the WWE, although he had two different occasions to have a mega push by Vince McMahon. He was offered a WWE contract, and he declined at least twice in hopes to get a better contract and stay with the JCP or NWA, WCW marriage there, I guess you can say. He definitely, you know, him and Ivan Koloff, one of the most intimidating tag teams in the mid-80s, when they were the Russians. And then U.S. champion, had one of the best U.S. championship reigns in the history of the NWA. And had some really good feuds. Dusty Rhodes was a huge feud. Magnum T.A., Tully Blanchard had some really, really good feuds. He retired in 92. Towards the latter part of his career, he just kind of had a buzz cut for a second and just got a lot smaller. And then they tried to reinvent him by saying he was from Lithuania. And he just didn't really pan out towards his latter parts. He was still known, but he went to the AWA in the late 80s, came back to the WCW, feuded with Luger and Sting at that time. As a heel, because he was faced for a while, because Dusty Rhodes saw some more money in him as a face, and that worked out pretty well. So Hita Koloff, just within his 8-year span, just really made some huge noise in the world of wrestling. So let's go to number two.
We're going to talk about huge noise. How about Vern Gagne, number two? Vern Gagne is he was the American Olympic champion back in 1948, I want to believe, in wrestling. Came out of that, made the AWA. Vern Gagne is a Vince McMahon of before Vince McMahon. Vern Gagne, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, Hulk Hogan, just about everybody that had anything to do with 1980s wrestling. Vern Gagne is the stepping stone to make them what they were. With his matches against Lou Thesz, he started out as, again, in the Olympics, went on to make his name to fame with his own promotion, the American Wrestling Association. And Vern Gagne just pretty much turned the world upside down in professional wrestling. He is, without a doubt, the mind behind everything that is professional wrestling. Up until when Vince McMahon took over, Vince McMahon actually bought out the AWA back in the 80s. Vern Gagne didn't like that very much. However, you know, Vince McMahon has totally respected Vern Gagne with everything that he is with the WWE Hall of Fame. But I want to recognize Vern Gagne as number two as far as somebody that never actually competed with WWE, been in the company, but actually competed with them, of course, trying to beat them in the ratings number. But Vern Gagne is the absolute influence, probably one of the top three godfathers of professional wrestling. Put his name up there. And Chris Featherstone has number one. What is it?
The man, the legend, none other than Sting. Think he was going to be anybody else? Absolutely not. Sting is the greatest wrestler that's never stepped foot in WWE. One of the reasons why we thought about this topic is just the rumblings of him possibly coming to the WWE. So, definitely had to squeeze this Flavor of the Week topic out before possibly next year comes. But, yeah, just fantastic. I mean, he's, you know, from a personal standpoint, he's my favorite wrestler of all time. Sting is just a phenomenal. I mean, he's had multiple championships. dozens of championships throughout NWA, WCW, and TNA. He's the only wrestler that has been world champion of each promotion. He was NWA world champion once. He was a WCW championship. He was WCW champion six times, and he was TNA champion four times. I actually was NWA championship twice because NWA championship was recognized in the TNA when he first came. So he was still the NWA world champion in TNA. So fantastic. I mean, world television championship, television champion one time, United States champion twice, multiple tag team championships in TNA and WCW, Battle Bowl, Battle Royal winner in 91, Crockett Memorial Cup with Lex Luger in 88, King of Cable Tournament winner in 92. One of the most decorated stars of all time. 92, he was even ranked the best babyface in 1992. At 54 years old, this guy is still wrestling matches in TNA and still has shown, especially with his match recently against Austin Aries, that he can do it. He can deliver. So, honor and a privilege to talk about my favorite wrestler in this manner, and definitely the best wrestler that's never stepped foot in the WWE. Will we see a different? Outcome soon? Maybe, possibly. But as of now, Sting is the number one person. One of the most decorated superstars of all time, and just a privilege to watch throughout my whole life of following wrestling. So that is our show, ladies and gentlemen. Before we leave, I have a small quote for you. My wonderful guest, Caprice Coleman, was really, like I said, he cut a hard time promo nearly 20 years later. That was really, really good. I mean, just really showing his passion for really grinding in a business. And 1985, remember those days? Dusty Rhodes was having his Dusty Rhodes tour, going into Starrcade 1985, going against Ric Flair. And he comes to a Mid-South and gets interviewed. And he cuts a promo that has been coined. Bob Cottle, actually, interviewed him. And he had an interview called Hard Times. And he said, "Ric Flair. I don't have to say more about Ric Flair. No respect. No honor. There's no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when textile workers around this country are out of work and you got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy the food. Hard times are when auto workers are out of work and they tell them, go home." And he further says, "Hey, 30 years. They gave him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, 'Hey, a computer took your place, Daddy.' That's hard times. That's hard times." One of my favorite promos of all time. So I want to thank everybody for being with us today. Fantastic show. Definitely one of my favorites. 347-884-8452 is the number to put in your back pocket. Follow at Crave Wrestling. Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone, WrestlingGate.com. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you then. Until next week, have a great week. God bless. Goodbye.